In this episode of ASISU Speaks, Christoph welcomes Liz Brueker, ASISU Senator for the College of Education. This and all of Christoph's interviews from the 2018-2019 academic school year are available to listen to at any time at kisu.org. Click on Programs and ASISU Speaks.
Welcome to this week's edition of ASISU Speaks. This is your host, Christoph Kisun, and I am very excited today to be in the studio with Senator Brueker.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Hi, Liz.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I am wonderful. How
good.
Are you?
I'm phenomenal. I'm really excited to have you in the studio. I've thought about our interview a lot. I've been waiting for it. And I told you this, you emailed me saying, hey, let's record. And
yes,
literally the night before, I had the same exact thought that we need to get in the studio together and get this done.
Right.
Yeah. So Liz is our newest senator to ASISU.
Right.
You were sworn in January.
January.
Of this year.
Yes.
And how has that experience been so far? What is your initial impression?
It was wonderful. The swearing in, well, the process even to be appointed was wonderful. And then just seeing the Senate and being in the room as they voted me in, it was just fabulous. And then being sworn in by President Schmidt, and it was just a joyous occasion, and I have enjoyed every minute of being on the Senate.
I love the thing we say when we get sworn in. Like, I want everybody to look it up.
Yes.
But it literally says that the job you're signing up for, what you swear to do, is to be a credit to the institution, right? To be of service to the institution. And I think there's something very beautiful about that. If you think about what our job is, we are meant to serve, right? We're called to serve. We're called to serve students, to serve the university, to serve ASISU.
Yes.
Right? And I think we should really always try to keep that in the center of our brains as senators and officers.
Yes. That's the nature of the job.
Right?
It's service.
It's service. But people think, like, it's power. They have resources.
Right.
They want to go do this. They want to go do that. They want to go imprint whatever vision they have. Right? But what does the institution want from you? Not what do you want from it.
Exactly. It is, what can I give? It's like JFK once said, what, you know, can you do for your country?
Exactly.
And basically,
what's your country can do for you.
Right.
Yes, yes.
It's what I've learned in my life. I'm a little older than all of you senators.
Which is why I'm so happy you're on Senate.
Thank you.
Yeah.
One thing I've learned in my life so far is, even if you feel you don't have anything to give back, you do. In some capacity, even if it feels like the world is lonely or you don't have support or backing, you can always give back.
Right.
In one way or another, whether it's holding open a door or writing a bill, as in our case. The venue for service, it never ceases.
True.
And so, I mean, I love that fluidity of ASISU.
Yeah.
Opportunities are endless.
so true.
Yes.
That is so true, yes. And I mean, and as you go into your next year of ASISU, which we'll talk about in a little bit. You'll see that there are pockets of opportunity everywhere.
Oh, yes.
All you have to do is just knock on that door. Yeah, like me being able to do this show, I never imagined when I went into ASISU that I would have ever been able to host this show, and then it just happened, right?
Yes.
So I love it. ASISU, very fluid, very diverse. So
yes,
you are representing the College of Education.
I am.
Right? Very exciting. You are a non-traditional student.
Yes.
You are probably one of the first non-traditional students we've had on Senate in years.
Oh, wow.
In years, yes. And for those of you who don't know, ISU has about a 40% non-traditional student population, right?
Very sizable.
Very sizable, much more than other schools.
Yes.
So let's talk a bit about that. What does being a non-traditional student mean? Why is that important?
It is important because no matter your station in life or how old you are, for example, I'm 35.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be 36 in a few months. There's always an opportunity and a vision to complete your education. For me, for example, the way I've told this to people before, because I have been asked, you know, why are you here now? And I kind of backtrack and give a chronological timeline is, basically, I graduated high school in 2001, and 3 months later, planes were flying into buildings.
Right.
For my grade in particular, that changed a lot of our lives on that day, in those few hours. Whatever plans we thought we had or whatever we had going on, it changed. And quite a few of us in our grade went into the service, and 6 months later, I enlisted in the United States Army because I I had to do something. I mean, that's, I know a lot of, it's kind of makes me take a step back and think that a lot of freshmen, and even seniors, they don't have a cognitive memory, really,
of what happened.
Day.
True.
Yes, I mean.
This year, Facebook posts for the anniversary every year.
Every year.
And they call it good.
Yeah. Yeah. They think it's just something that happened in the past. And anybody, you know, I was 18 when it happened. So
wow.
Whenever you talk about it, you think, wow, that happened 5 minutes ago. And it didn't. It's happened almost 20.
True.
It does not feel like it.
It doesn't. It's so fresh in our memories still.
It is.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So that happened February 2002. I enlisted Army as a military police officer, and I did the Army thing for 5 years.
Wow.
Met my husband, Eric, in the service.
Aww.
Yes, he was a infantryman first, and then he reclassed to be an MP. That's what we're called.
Uh-huh.
So that's when we met. We both got out. And then I took 10 years off to start and raise our family. Have three beautiful kids.
Yes.
And and so at the time, our last child, he's now six, was born. He was born in Alaska. That's where we're living. And then a couple years after that, in 2016, we, due to medical reasons, needed to leave Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And we sourced some places, and here we are now. And the reason we're in Pocatello rather than someplace I cannot remember right now in South Dakota was because of Idaho State.
Oh.
Really, Idaho State. And we knew, based even on the website, that the non-traditional population had a tremendous amount of support and that there was no real demarcation, if you will.
Right.
You know, you older people or different people, single moms, what have you, you stay over here and then the rest of us do our thing.
It wasn't like that.
It wasn't like
we're all in the same classes. We're all in the same programs.
Yes.
We're all in the same opportunities.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's really wonderful to represent that facet of diversity.
Yes.
Here at ISU. I mean, I represent several. I'm first gen. I'm a student vet. I'm non-traditional.
Yep. You're a mother.
Yeah, I'm a mom.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
And so it's now wonderful to be in a position of visibility as well. And
yes.
People may look at me and say, okay, she looks a little older. Let me dig into her, you know, or she said this. I want to research. I want to find out who Liz is. And they find out I'm not 18 to 22 years old. They see that I've done these things.
Mm-hmm.
They may read that I've overcome these challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still doing it. And I'm still doing the thing. And in 1 year, I will have my outdoor ed degree conferred upon me.
Yes.
And it is by that time, when I do receive my degree, it will have been 8 years in the making.
Wow.
Of me going back to school and getting it done. So hopefully, you know, I could be a beacon of light for traditional, non-traditional, whomever.
Everybody
is attending here. Say, you know, you can do it. Just stick it out. Be tenacious.
Yeah, true. Exactly.
So in a roundabout way, that's it's been a blessing and it's been a joy to be here and be a Bengal.
I can tell just being in your presence, I feel proud to be a Bengal. Like, you radiate love for ISU.
Oh,
and you have a lot of passion.
I do.
You never say anything that you don't fully mean.
Absolutely.
And are passionate and care about. And that is very special, in my opinion. And it's important that people in positions of power genuinely care about what they say. A lot of us just say things, we use these blanket statements, this vague language. Somebody might come up with an idea and say, hey, here's this really cool thing I want to do to improve student life. And you'll nod and smile and say, yeah, that's a good idea, I support you. But when it really comes down to it, are you showing up? Are you batting for them? You know what I'm saying? And
yes,
you have that. I can see you follow through. And I love that.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Of course.
I do. I do follow through as much as possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, life can,
of course,
make you sit down, of course. But I do hope when people talk to me, when they hear my name, they know that I am intentional, I am authentic, and what comes out of my mouth, I mean every word.
Yep.
And
take
so,
it how you want it.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is Liz.
It's you know, I am not here to ruffle feathers. I mean, you get older and then you concentrate on your areas. You target what you can do. You recognize and realize your strengths.
Absolutely.
And weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And then you really capitalize on your strengths and you work on your weaknesses. And then in the process, you become refined. And that's a fun process.
Yeah.
I notice a lot of youth are scared of that, but...
the shedding.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. And so my past in, you know, the rock tumbler of life, if you will. I've been polished in a lot of areas, so I'm not afraid to stand up and say, this is what I think.
Right.
Whereas when I was 20, I dare not because I was scared of what people thought.
Right.
And if there's one thing I can impart on your listeners that perhaps may be younger than me,
please.
Is as you grow older, you care so much less as to what people think and the fear and the intimidation and the hesitation to live life fully just drops off. It falls off.
Yeah.
And it just gets so much better.
Wow.
As you get older. It does.
That's so beautiful.
It does. So, you know, I'm so happy and so blessed to be a part of Senate at this station of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, I can contribute so much.
Oh, my God. No, you're going to be a massive credit. You already are.
Thank you.
This is why I was so excited when Liz got appointed to the position. She has experience. She's worked in the real world. She understands how money works. Budget is one of the most important things that ASISU does. ASISU manages a $1 million budget, right?
Yes.
And year after year, we have senators sitting on finance committee who have to make decisions about $1 million. They have no financial training. They don't understand accountability in money. They don't understand transparency. They don't have the expertise to manage something of that scale, of that magnitude, right?
Yes.
That's something you need to go and train to understand. How I wouldn't even know if I had $1 million in front of me
what to do with it.
I would be so lost and confused, right?
Right.
And I love that you can bring that expertise to Finance Committee and hopefully next year keep spreading that and building that and put this emphasis on making sure we have a Finance Committee that is trained and efficient and professional and take their job seriously because $1 million is a lot of money.
Yeah, like $10.
Thank you.
Is a lot of money.
Agreed. Agreed. Yes.
It is. I do come from the position of... this is not our money. Of course, our individual few dollars in fees go into it. But when you're managing any amount of money, in our case, $1 million-ish, the senators assigned to the Finance Committee, whomever that will be next semester, and I truly hope I am one of them, they need to understand that every single solitary decision made in consensus or individually affects a stakeholder in one way or another.
Exactly. You mightn't be able to see them. You mightn't be able to see the impact, but somebody is impacting from that decision.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's just not my fear, but a concern, something I don't want to see, is that the Finance Committee treats students at ISU as flyover nation.
Mm.
It's not our money. We are not here to make the university look good, per se. That's why we have a PR department.
Exactly.
We are not here to facilitate any other department's capacity.
Right.
We are here at $1 million budget to say, okay, here's needs. What's the need? How can we fill it?
Right.
And I'm not saying, you know, we're here to be yes men and women.
Exactly.
However, just to be present, live in the now and understand that every single penny decided upon, appropriated, really is the word.
Appropriated. Mm-hmm.
Any dollar appropriated will take it away from here and give to here. Or, it might affect the future funding.
I mean, right.
To be present and cognizant of that fact.
Think of the big picture.
Big picture.
Right.
One must have a sense of responsibility, perhaps it would be called doublethink, to be cognizant of the micro and the macro in the same thought.
Uh-huh.
What decisions are we making right now, not to please a friend, not to...
please this department.
Exactly.
Not to make this problem go away.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But macro?
The overall, the micro, how can we take care of the students, because it is their money, and best serve them? Which deals with unpleasantness and being uncomfortable. For example, if a department or, say, somebody comes to the Finance Committee and says, hey, I need some money, we have a duty and a responsibility to our primary stakeholders, the students, to grill them, get every financial document humanly imaginable, and say, where have you allotted your money? How have you spent it? What's your five-year track record?
Right.
And then make decisions on hard data.
100%.
And... I would love to implement that strategy and make that a, what we call it in the Army, an SOP, a standard operating procedure.
Yes, Liz. No, I completely 100% agree. The institution needs to be professionalized. And it's people like you who have that expertise, who have that experience. Not that people who are in their early 20s can't be good leaders and can't be good senators. They're great. I'm not saying no. But you need to have people, too, who are just more professional, more understanding of how big decisions need to be made, right?
Yes.
And that's just something you gain with age, with time.
Absolutely.
All you can do is, all of us will get there at some point, right? I'm getting there more and more every day.
Every day.
But
yes.
Still, sometimes you have to defer to the judgments of the people who are more experienced and have more expertise than you. And there's no shame in that.
No.
Right?
No. I mean, it's a necessity. It's a necessity.
You
need to source the opinion, even on the Finance Committee and in our Senate.
Yeah.
Or the Student Senate, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
We belong student government, it is student led. And so we need to defer whether that is President Satterley, whether that is Lowell Richards,
mm-hmm.
whether that is Dr. Reddington. And we need to go to the subject matter experts. And
if
there's ever a question, there's no shame in tabling an issue.
Right.
Until we get
all the information.
All information to make the most complete decision we can
mm-hmm.
with that primary goal in mind of how is this going to better the life of every Bengal. Every single one.
Right.
I mean, if there's needs. I see. You walk around campus, you see the needs.
You see them, the gaps everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And I don't see that as a negative.
Mm-hmm.
I see that as opportunity and room for improvement. I see it as a challenge. I'll have to take that challenge on and really network with people. And I have, even within my own college, I have gotten invaluable feedback.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just precious, timeless, wonderful feedback on financial issues, program issues, outreach, fundraising. And so bringing that knowledge to finance and speaking with the students
mm-hmm.
as much as possible,
mm-hmm.
creating awareness. All of these components go into our duty as senators and as committee men and women.
Right. That's how we be a credit
yes.
to the institution. That's how we do it.
Yes, mm-hmm. because we are supposed to be representing our individual colleges.
Right.
Primarily. And so a challenge I have found is how do I engage College of Ed students?
Right, because they're all in different programs. They all come from different
yes.
walks of life. There is no profile for what a College of Ed student looks like or what they need.
No,
right?
Not at all.
Same thing when I was senator for arts and letters and now I'm senator for graduate school.
Right.
That is a massive population. There's like hundreds of different demographics in each of those. How do you even find a way to represent all of them in one policy or one decision or one, you know, even if it's $10 or a million, as you said.
Yes.
Right? It's very difficult. But I think just recognizing the complexity of that decision
yes.
is a huge step forward. Just recognizing how important the decision is.
Yes, it's giant.
It's
said you don't realize you have a problem until you recognize it. And
you're right. I can see the beast.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Bengal beast.
The Bengal beast. I love it.
Yes.
Right? And then what you do from there, right? Now you see all the problems. Okay, what can I do today? I'll start chiseling. We have this little piece.
Yeah.
Hopefully this piece will lead to this piece and then we go and we go and we go.
And that's right? our responsibility.
Thank you.
Yes, it is absolutely our responsibility. So College of Ed is,
mm-hmm.
we're everywhere. And I'm happy about that.
Oh, yeah.
We're everywhere. As everyone knows, we're in Reed Gym.
Mm-hmm.
What a lot of people don't know is that the Outdoor Adventure Center is part of the College of Education. In a sense, I'm an outdoor ed major.
Uh-huh.
My advisor is in the Outdoor Adventure Center. There's instructors that
right.
not only provide extracurricular trips, say, to Moab over spring break and other things like that, but
they're teaching.
They teach.
Mm-hmm.
They provide academic advising.
Wow.
They
sure they're doing
resources,
research.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have Reed Gym, SSPE, Sports Science and Physical Education Department.
Mm-hmm.
You have research going on there.
Right.
My department's in Reed Gym. My advisor's in the sub. My department chair is in Reed Gym.
Uh-huh.
And then the administrative staff and my dean and all of them are in the College of Education building, tucked
wow.
away, all on its lonesome. So even for me, I have three different locations.
True, that you can target ed students.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's been a ride. So I talk to department chairs I met with the department chair yesterday, had a fabulous conversation
Lovely.
Bringing new ideas into ISU as a whole as well.
Yeah, and I think it's particularly important that senators have relationships with their college deans and their department chairs because they are elected to represent their college.
Exactly.
How are you going to represent a college if you don't even know what the dean of your college is doing?
Yes.
You see the problem?
Clearly. Clearly, they, I believe a misconception or misperception is just because we're students, we need to have some distance maybe from staff and faculty and admin and say Lowell or Dr. Reddington or even President said, that's such a lie. That's such a...
I agree.
Oh, that's...
It's nonsense.
It is.
And that maybe have been the culture before President Satterley got here, but it definitely ain't our ISU culture now.
Right.
Right?
Yes, I remember it was pretty dark days. I know I don't want to dog on the previous administration or even the president, but...
But it was dark days.
It was.
Yeah.
And then President Satterley came in... Was it June?
Mm-hmm.
June. And, you know, there's nobody on campus. But it was bright skies all of a sudden. I didn't know what to do with it, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I didn't realize I was being oppressed.
True.
And depressed. And I thought, what am I going to do with this? I almost didn't trust it.
True. It seemed like somebody was going to take this away from me at any point. Too good to be true.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the other shoe to drop.
I understand.
We have, since President Satterley's tenure here, we have been, and I think so many of us can agree, that we visibly see it without even engaging.
True.
This positive trajectory.
Yeah.
We're only going up from here.
Yeah.
And now Athletic Director Pauline Theros is in charge.
Yes.
Round of
congrats
applause.
Pauline.
I am thrilled to pieces.
Me too.
And our athletic departments are, all of it.
Everything.
Bengal Athletics is going to get so much more stronger.
Yeah.
And school pride. I'm so excited to see the future of ISU, the future of ASISU being a part of that. And I'm just so happy, ecstatic, ready to get to work for next year.
Yes.
Seeing it all come to fruition and... I don't know. I'm so excited.
Me too. I'm super excited for you. I'm excited for ASISU. I'm excited for this university. It's just really, you can feel it. You can feel the difference. It's this energy. It's almost like if all of us are walking on a different frequency now.
Yes.
You know?
It's
like
palpable.
Yeah, it's palpable. Yes, it's palpable. And if you can't feel it, then something is wrong with you. Like, you need to come spend some time on this campus.
Yes.
And see what's going on. Congratulations so much on being appointed this year and winning your seat next year.
Thank you so much.
Yes, I'm so excited for you. You know, I think you're going to do amazing things. I think the next Senate is going to really benefit from your expertise, from your wisdom, your ability to see the big picture, to think micro and macro at the same time.
Yes.
Right? And to be a credit. Yes. To be of service. To be of service. Let go of your ego. Let go of your ego. Yes. Sometimes you might even need to take a step back. And this is for everybody I'm talking to.
Oh,
sometimes in positions, you have to take a step back and do what's best for the group, what's best for the institution.
Right.
You don't always have to be the one in the top position. You don't have to be the face. You don't have to be the representative. The people who work behind the scenes are the ones that are making the magic happen.
The movers and shakers.
Exactly, the movers and the shakers, right? Be a mover and a shaker.
Yes.
First and foremost.
It is so much more gratifying to know that you earned it.
Exactly.
And you're right, you don't have to be the face. You let somebody else take the bow. It's fine. It's nice to get a pat on the back and take a bow every once in a while.
Of course, be recognized. It's always good to be recognized every once in a while.
Right.
But if that's your only goal, is to be in the middle of the spotlight all the time.
How empty.
How empty. How ungratifying.
That's the word. It's not gratifying. People, I would encourage anybody... You know, listening at ISU, are these decisions being made? You know, watch us. Keep an eye on us, Bengals.
Yes.
Watch us. Tell us what to do with
your
money.
Very important. Yes.
It is your money. You tell us what to do with it.
You need to be watchdogs.
Yes.
You need to be watchdogs. And I'm going to be honest, our voting process, the number of students who actually vote for senators is extremely low.
I'm very disappointed.
It is barely not even 10% of the voting population. So... You all need to be even more on top of watching your Senate.
Yes.
Just because a lot of you didn't vote them in. A lot of you didn't even vote. So you need to take extra care to be those watchdogs and to make sure that your money's where you want it to go.
Yes. It's part of your civic duty.
Exactly.
I mean, this is your money. What I've noticed is social media complaining isn't getting the job done. I want all of the College of Ed students to email me, call me.
Yes.
Stop me as I'm walking on campus.
I want them to know my name. Yes.
Tell me who you are. What do you want? What do you want to see happen? What ideas? I'm working on a survey that I want to send out to the College of Ed, anonymous survey.
Yeah.
And it'll obviously take place in the fall. But pointed questions, you know, what is your impression? What do you want? I'm still refining it and getting amazing feedback. But I am here for you.
Mm-hmm.
You are not here to serve my ego so I can take a few empty bows.
Thank you.
And so it goes back, you know, coming around full circle, Flyover Nation, that mess needs to end.
Yeah.
We need to be engaged. It goes both ways. I want the electorate to be engaged with me.
Me too.
And I will be engaged with the electorate. So
yeah, it's a two-way relationship.
Yes.
Yeah. It can be extremely beneficial when done properly.
It can. And we all win.
Yeah.
We all win when that happens. Any student success on this campus is our whole success.
Thank you. Exactly. Liz.
We all benefit.
Yeah. We need to break out of these walls that this department got this organization want that. No.
Yes.
All of ISU.
Yes.
Well, one family. It's one Bengal Nation.
Bengal Nation, yes.
Exactly.
There is no reason that anybody in Bengal Nation should not be clapping for another Bengal success.
Exactly.
I'm a firm believer.
Me too.
And standing up and giving that ovation to anybody's success because they earned it.
In whatever shape, in whatever form. It might mean the things that we don't even value, right? But it has so much value.
Yes.
Yeah.
A rising tide floats.
Rising tide floats all sails, all ships.
All ships,
yeah.
It does.
So I'm ready. I'm ready for this wave. I'm excited.
Can't wait.
Yeah, and you'll be leading the charge.
Always.
Thank you so much, Liz.
Thank you, Christoph.
For being in here. I am 100% having you on again. This was lovely. Absolutely lovely.
Can't wait.
Of course. Thank you.
Financial support for KISU's ASISU Speaks comes from ISU Credit Union, with offices in Idaho Falls, Blackfoot, Burley, and Pocatello. ISU Credit Union provides a full line of services for financial solutions, including home, auto, and RV loans, and credit cards. Over 5,000 shared branches nationwide, and much more. ISU Credit Union, you've never seen banking like this.